guarantee the success of the marriage. It's like the title of a book I told you about. Before you plan your wedding, plan your marriage. While great weddings do not necessarily predict great marriages, our weddings do tell a story about marriage that is often overlooked. And as we rejoin Solomon and Shulamith today, we have watched them in their courtship, and now they have returned each one to their own home. Solomon is back in Jerusalem in his palace, and Shulamith has gone back to Shunem in the hills of Lebanon where she grew up. And King Solomon now is making preparations for a royal wedding. The wedding is about to occur, but there's a process that he is going to go through that was very typical of weddings in that day. The first part of the wedding is a formal procession that brings the bride from Shunem back to Jerusalem. As we study these verses, we're going to learn four principles about weddings and marriages that will help us keep focused on the true purpose of marriage that is reflected in our wedding. Now, if you're already married, I urge you to think back to your marriage and remember it as vividly as you can. Think about what it was like the week before you got married. Remember your vows to one another. And picture the place where you were married. If you are yet to be married, this message will allow you to think about that day when you will stand at the altar with somebody that you love. Now, there are four principles here in the text. I'm going to use these principles to go through the scripture together. And we begin, first of all, with this one. A wedding is a time of celebration. In the sixth verse of the third chapter of Solomon, we read these words, "Who is this coming out of the wilderness? Like pillars of smoke, perfumed with myrrh and frankincense, with all the merchant's fragrant powders." The section begins with a question. Who is this who comes out of the wilderness? The route that Solomon would take from Shunem to Jerusalem to bring back his bride to the place of their wedding would have taken them along the Jordan River road. And then if you follow that road, you will arrive in the wilderness at an oasis they now call Jericho. And that's just south of the Dead Sea. Now, if you know anything about the geography of Israel, you know the Dead Sea is the lowest point on the face of the earth. The Dead Sea is 1,400 feet below sea level. So Solomon and his entourage would have ascended to the top of the Judean mountains from the lowest point on the face of the earth, and they would do it in a distance of just 18 miles. It was a very steep ascent. On a clear day, you could see Jerusalem perched on top of the Judean mountains like a royal crown from all the way down at the Dead Sea. Now, this was an incredible procession that is about to occur, fitting only of a king. It was a great celebration, unequaled in the culture of that day. And this reminds us all that a wedding should be a time of great joy and celebration. The excitement of this day is like no other day you will ever experience. Even if because of death or a divorce, you end up getting married a second time, nothing ever comes close to the anticipation and excitement of the wedding of your youth, because it's an event you've never experienced before. Even today, some families are known to start planning their wedding more than 2 years before the actual occasion. Now, as we look at these verses, here are two contemporary observations about the celebration we call a wedding. First of all, let's notice the pageantry of it all. It comes as a surprise to many people today that the ancient Near East marriages were more civil marriages than they were religious marriages. Almost always, these weddings took place in a home, not in the temple or tabernacle or any place like that. They took place in the home. One of the key parts of the wedding was the procession to the bride's home, led by the groom. He would go and gather her to himself and then escort her back to their new home where the actual wedding would take place. The wedding feast that followed would sometimes last up to a whole week. You talk about a long reception. Now, that's a reception to behold. And the marriage was a special ritual in which the man publicly pledged himself to his bride and she to him. Now Solomon and his entourage went to Shulamite's home to get her. And the pageantry and the procession was to honor her and appropriately sanctify this day in all of its significance. The wedding day was not just another day on the calendar. It was a once-in-a-lifetime event. And so it should be today for all of us. Two people from diverse backgrounds making a public declaration to one another and commitment to one another for life. There is nothing like this in all of human experience. Nothing like a wedding in all the experience of humanity. Whether it's a simple wedding or a complex one, it should be a wedding that celebrates the significance of that day and that moment in these two people. The pageantry of the wedding. Now notice, secondly, the purpose of it. Solomon wanted the world to know how much he loved this woman. He is putting her on parade. As Shulamith came out of the wilderness and into the city, the Bible tells us that columns of smoke was the result of the procession. And someone said, "This is a smoking hot woman. This is a beautiful girl." The smoke was the result of burning frankincense and myrrh. Now, we've run into frankincense two or three times. It's sort of a gum substance that's extracted from an Arabian plant. And it was used often as a source of fire. It produced a really huge flame. Frankincense, believe it or not, was used in the temple as a symbol of prayer. And when you burnt frankincense, you could see it for a long way. And it provided not only a great flame, but it produced a lot of smoke. In the temple, frankincense was a picture of our prayers ascending to God. And here in the wedding ceremony, we are told that as they came from Shunem toward Jerusalem, they had these torches and they created black smoke that you could see for some distance. And as they got nearer, you would remember that not only was this frankincense that was burning, but they had added myrrh to it. And myrrh had an incredibly intense and pungent aroma. So this was a sight and smell experience. As the wedding procession came near to where you were, you could not only see it, you could smell the aroma of it. It was an incredible celebration. It was a costly celebration. And this day would be the beginning of their new life together, their commitment to each other. It was going to be a strong and secure commitment. And the symbolism of prayer in the burning of the frankincense was a reminder of the spiritual nature of this wedding as well. How many of you know that when you're about to get married, it's a good time to pray? I promise you will pray a lot after you get married, but you really need to pray before you get married too. And prayer is a part of this beautiful, beautiful symbolism. Now, without being over the top, a wedding should be a statement of the importance of the relationship between the man and the woman being married. I performed hundreds of weddings in the years that I've been a pastor. I've seen how weddings have changed over the last 25 years. A lot of things now happen. You know, when I first started doing weddings, they didn't have even the candle where the bride and groom lit the unity candle. And way back in the beginning when I first started doing this, one thing that never happened was they didn't have a beautiful slideshow before the wedding. Now, almost every wedding we do, and I think it's a wonderful thing, they celebrate the uniqueness of each individual in the marriage with pictures of them. In fact, almost always now they show baby pictures, which always gets quite a laugh from the congregation. They show how the bride and the groom have grown up independently. They show pictures of them before they met each other. And then little by little, about halfway through the slide presentation, you see them together. And then you see in these pictures their relationship deepening until ultimately it ends up at the altar where we all are that day. That's a beautiful symbolism of bringing two unique, diverse people together in this beautiful thing we know as marriage. So many things can make a statement. A wedding is a time of celebration. And now notice, a wedding is a time of certification. In verses 7 and 8, we read these words. Song of Solomon, chapter 3, verses 7. Behold, it is Solomon's couch with 60 valiant men around it of the valiant of Israel. When Solomon came for Shulamith, he didn't come alone. He brought the finest of his armies with him. This was a time for the king to show his strength and his power and his majesty and to make an important confirming statement to his bride and the entire wedding party. First of all, he's going to say to her, "You will be safe with me." He brought 60 men with him. You talk about a wedding party. These are the groomsmen for Solomon the king. And the Bible says they were of the valiant of Israel. The 60 warriors represented 1/10 of Solomon's secret service brigade. These were his bodyguards. They were people who hung out with Solomon everywhere he went. And you can well imagine, they became friends. Perhaps the 60 who were chosen out of all of his bodyguards were the ones that he had gotten to know, the people that he was friendly with. And so they participate in this royal wedding. Their duty was to guard the royal family, to guard Solomon's loved ones. And by their presence at this event, they are pledging their lives now not only to protect Solomon, but to protect Shulamith as well. They are including her now in the protective plan of the royal guard. In essence, what was being communicated to Shulamith on that day was, "Honey, you can trust me. I will take care of you. You will be safe with me." Now, today, we give the gift of safety to each other in our weddings and in our marriages in a different way. I've never been to a wedding where they had 60 armed guards. I don't know what kind of wedding that would be like today, but I've never seen anything like that. But in our weddings today, we also kind of do the same thing. I came across a bit of poetry by Tian Dayton that says it well. It's called "Holding a Place." Listen carefully to each of these words. "I will hold a space for you in which to be, my gift to you. A place in the world beside me. I will honor that space and I will protect it. And if you hold a place for me, I will accept and value it." We too can do one another a great service here on this earth while we are alive. We can give one another shelter. We cannot change the wind or the rain or the devastation of storms. We cannot make what will happen not happen. But we can provide a feeling of safety in each other's arms. Oh, how I thought about that this week. If you've ever been through in your marriage any difficult time, something that comes out of that everyone tells me is true. Not only does it deepen your relationship with God, but even though you might not think this could happen, it deepens your relationship with each other. You become a shelter for one another. And how many times I have given gratitude to Almighty God that I don't have to face this life alone. That God has given me someone to share that life with and to be with and to remember with and to be sheltered by. And that's what this is all about. That's what it means to give safety to the one that you love. Now, the Bible says that when Solomon is coming back from Shunem with his bride, here's how it's described. It says here that he has a couch with 60 valiant men around it of the valiant of Israel, and they all hold swords, being expert in war. Every man has his sword on his thigh because of the fear in the night. Solomon is not only saying to Shulamith, "You will be safe with me," but he's saying to her, "You will be secure with me." Solomon's couch, now I don't think they were carrying his bed. I don't think this was the marriage bed coming down from Shunem. The word couch is a word later in the text, it's translated by the word palanquin. And it was a carriage. It was a royal carriage. Sometimes they call it a litter. It is a royal carriage in which royal people ride. I got this vision of it. It's kind of an ornate stagecoach, if you know what I mean. Well, the Bible says that this royal carriage, this sedan chair in which Solomon and Shulamith were sitting, had 60 warriors walking along beside it. Have you got this picture in your mind? Here is what Solomon was saying to Shulamith by his military demonstration. Honey, you will be safe with me, but you'll be secure with me. Notice verse 8 says, they all have swords, being expert in war, every man in his sword on his thigh because of fear in the night. These 60 warriors were not just on parade detail. They were ready for war. And the language here is the language of preparedness. They have their swords and they're strapped on their thighs, ready to be drawn when needed. And the text says the reason they have done that is because of fear in the night. Apparently this journey took place not just all in the daytime, but through the night. And they wanted to make sure that Shulamith would feel secure in her new role. So that Shulamith would have no fear or apprehension in the night, the guard was present to comfort her as she was brought to Jerusalem.
All of these beautiful details that help us understand the culture of the wedding back then, they're all so very fascinating. And yet, within all of these cultural discussions are timeless principles that help us all. And we'll continue our discussion of this Old Testament book when we meet together tomorrow for the second half of The Wedding Planner.
The message you heard today originated in the pulpit of Shadow Mountain Community Church, where David Jeremiah serves as senior pastor. Please take a moment to share with